the chat stuff. Room alive? I haven't seen anybody say anything.
No, not since you joined. They all went away.
They're keeping a low profile.
Chat room, make some noise. I tell you, our chat room is the most pretty chat room in
Jason, that's what this podcast needs. It needs a hype man.
We have 15 live listeners. 15
chat room into hizzy
live listeners.
Oh, the cat's in the cat box. It's time to start.
Okay.
Yes.
You know what? The cats completely ignore this lovely podcasting do not disturb door hanger you sent me.
Doesn't work, huh?
They can't read.
I'm starting to think they can't.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh, it's a number two. It's going to be a good night.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
This is a good sign.
Yeah. Why do you have the cat box in there is the question.
That's where it goes.
Yeah, it could be in your spare bedroom is also your bar. Yes. Maybe you don't want it in there.
That's a good point. It's also the guest room.
It is the guest room. That's true.
I guess it depends on how you feel about having guests.
I've been a guest there, and I was glad there were no cats taking dumps in there when I was in there. So,
as it said in your Yelp review,
mm-hmm. as far as you know.
Oh, I'd know, because your cats would wake me up, because they're very active cats.
I could say with absolute certainty that no cats took a dump in your bedroom while you were staying. And that is as far as I'm going to
say. As I said in my Yelp review. All right.
That wasn't a mint on your pillow.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly when this movie came out because I spent a year stuck with one VHS tape that had this movie, Grease 2, Reality Bites, and Dazed and Confused. And that's pretty much all my household watched for an entire year.
Wow.
I am so sorry.
The Grease 2 does not belong.
No.
Actually, that's the one I totally want to watch next.
Exposed to anything, that's one of the things here. Exposed to anything for long enough to learn all of its nuances, like this town that he hates and hates going to, he learns to love it after knowing it properly.
In fact, that's what happened to me with Grease 2, so I can really identify with this story.
Wow.
In so many ways, this is really Monty's story.
It is the tale of Monty.
Isn't it just?
Wow. Shout out to Brian Doyle Murray as one of these bit players who we see again and again. I'm very amused by that character. We later see him almost choke to death and get Heimlich'd, mm-hmm. but I like the ceremony, the idea that they do this again and again every year, right? Of the groundhog, and he's reading the scroll, and watching it this time, my son said, "See, he didn't even look at the shadow. He's just reading that off of a script." Like, you know, okay, yes, this is true, but that's a nice little part. Brian Doyle Murray, Bill's brother,
he shows up, I think, in almost every Harold Ramis film somewhere. Some or other bit part.
Yes.
There were Michael Shannon was in this. General Zod.
Oh, yeah. General Zod himself is
Terrence Stamp is General Zod, sir.
Yes, that's true. Right. General Zod in the bad movie.
Right.
He's the groom. Yeah.
Yes.
Right, you got to make sure Debbie doesn't get cold feet.
And the bride is Princess Bubblegum. That is Hindon Walsh, although she's credited as Hindon Walsh for some reason. But yeah, that's Princess Bubblegum / Starfire.
Amazing.
Did anybody else keep seeing Chris Elliott on screen and thinking Adam Savage?
No.
I knew who Chris Elliott was before I knew who Adam Savage was.
Oh, you see Adam Savage everywhere.
Yes. He's following you.
Maybe. I don't know. Bill Murray movies often end with questionable lines. I will point out that Ghostbusters, one of my favorite movies, ends with Ernie Hudson just shouting, "I love this town," for no real apparent reason.
Now, I know you're not complaining about the perfectly logical line that ends Caddyshack.
Which is?
Let's all get laid, right?
Yeah, the thing is, hey, everybody, we're all going to get laid.
We're all going to get laid. That's it.
Now, that's how you end a movie.
Any way you want it, that's the way you need it.
And then you play a Journey song.
Yeah.
Instead of
the gopher comes out and actually ends with I'm All Right, which is the proper way to end that film.
Oh, you're right.
The Loggins and the dancing gopher. I'm shocked that they managed to avoid making a gopher reference in this film when he's driving around with the groundhog.
Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
It was right there. I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
At the same time, it surprises me.
I'm looking at a map, and my mom grew up in at least four towns that are within like 20 miles of Punxsutawney. I don't think she ever lived in Punxsutawney, but that's where my mom grew up. She was born about, I'd say, 30 miles south of Punxsutawney, and went to high school about 20 miles north. Funny.
I have a good friend from Punxsutawney. I guess I've never asked him how he feels about this movie.
Western Pennsylvania. Probably mad that they didn't shoot it in Punxsutawney. That's going to be my guess.
Well, they possibly had the glad that they didn't. They had the actual officials that do the Punxsutawney ceremony every year come out so that they, you know, they made sure they were doing it
they
properly.
They did it right. They just didn't shoot it in the town.
Authenticity and
they,
supposedly they were, apparently they were initially kind of irritated that it wasn't actually in Punxsutawney, but when they got to Woodstock, they saw what the town square looked like and they said, yeah, this is better. This is definitely better.
It's more photogenic than our town is, probably.
Because I guess Punxsutawney, where they do it, is actually kind of out away from the town, off in some, you know, in the woods somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, it's a town whose entire economy is based around a weird ritual that happens once a year in the middle of winter.
Yeah. Yes, accurate. Entirely accurate. Not much more to it. There's nothing else that separates it from Indiana, Pennsylvania, and Du Bois, Pennsylvania, and Brockway, Pennsylvania. It's just, and Ridgeway, Pennsylvania, and I could list them all, and they
do it. Just these, in Pennsylvania.
There's just these little towns in Pennsylvania.
List 10 more right now.
New Florence.
One.
And Reynoldsville.
Two. Oh, God, do we have to do this?
And Penfield.
Three. This is how we fill out the bonus
Northern
tracks.
Northern Cambria. Latrobe. Latrobe.
This is where
I
jump, fill out, this is where I jump out the window, guys.
Latrobe is the home of Arnold Palmer. Johnstown, where they had the flood.
That's
how
five.
Many is that, Monty? Monongahela, named after the river. So put your little hand in mine.
There ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb. Babe.
I got you, babe. I got you, babe.
I was doing the Beavis and Butthead version, sorry.
That's okay.
There aren't a lot of movies set in and around Pittsburgh, are there? I mean, this one sort of necessitated it because they had to be somewhere close to Punxsutawney, but I can't think of too many other
Invincible.
Times I've seen the Pittsburgh skyline.
Invincible.
Okay.
Invincible or Unbreakable?
Invincible, the one where Mark Wahlberg's trying to be in the Steelers.
You're right. Unbreakable is Philadelphia.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Also a movie where the director is a doctor in a random scene. Unbreakable.
Actually.
Wait, he's a drug dealer in that one, isn't he? He's a doctor in another one. Anyway.
The one with Donnie Wahlberg was in Philadelphia.
Oh, was
that Philadelphia too?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because he was an Eagle.
Yeah, you're right.
There are.
I should have known that. He's
The Last of Us, Steve, but that's not a movie.
Right.
Last of Us goes through Pittsburgh.
It does. I believe that's the town that's entirely unchanged from its pre-apocalyptic
state. That's right.
The fish that saved Pittsburgh. Also Flashdance.
Done.
Flashdance?
Yeah.
Wow.
A steel town girl, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. On a Saturday night. Well, no, let's not go there.
No.
Because like I said, my aunt and uncle used to live... My aunt and uncle used to live outside of where Punxsutawney is, and it was an hour and a half, 2 hour drive from Pittsburgh. So it's not that close to Pittsburgh, but it's the closest city,
right?
Unless you count Altoona, which we don't, because that's not much of a city.
I mean, all you really see of it is the skyline, and it looks okay.
Yeah,
not so bad.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Incomparable Podcast. This is Jason Snell. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to be talking about Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Today, Tomorrow.
Yep.
All right.
I'm going to go watch Heidi 2, Happy a family classic.
I'm going to go watch Grease 2.
Heidi 2, Grease 2, any other 2s out there?
What else was on that tape?
It was Reality Bites, Grease 2, Dazed and Confused, like, and Groundhog Day.
Jeez. I have still, to this day, never in my life shopped at the Gap because I hated Reality Bites.
I hate
so
Reality
much.
Bites so much.
Oh, I love that.
Still to this day.
Made me hate Winona Ryder. I kind of hate Winona Ryder.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
Well, she is the worst person in the world in that.
Yeah.
What's great about that movie is how wrong-headed it is about its characters. It's like, here's Ethan Hawke, who explicitly refuses to work and lies on the couch all day. And here's Ben Stiller, who has a nice job. Obviously, she has to go with Ethan Hawke, you soulless monsters. And not enough people talk about the fact that it has the same plot as Rent.
Ah.
Hmm.
The main character carries around a camera everywhere and records things, and you finally get to see the movie she made, and it's terrible. Just total self-indulgent garbage, right. Just like in Rent.
Yep, yep.
That's all I got.
Oh, man.
Is this bad movie club?
Stay tuned for the Reality Bites. that would be like, I think there's a difference between watching a bad movie and watching a movie that I think it would be cheating because I hate that movie. So that would just be like movie hate club.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good too. I like that.
your 90-minute hate?
Your 90-minute hate. That's a great idea.
That movie is so of its time.
It is.
It has Winona Ryder sadly singing, "I'm Just a Bill."
Oh my God. No, it is like, hey, Gen Xers, this movie is for you. I feel, and I apologize for all Gen Xers.
What's that phrase? Save it for the podcast?
See, I had it.
Have a whole nother episode.
So, Monty, the VHS tape that I had in college, I had a couple of them where it was literally before I went off to college, I just dubbed movies onto tapes figuring I would need movies in college. And I had like After Hours and Raiders of the Lost Ark and... After Hours, I remember, which is just a bizarre
choice. Mine were all
from
American Movie Classics, so I watched a lot of like Fred Astaire and Claudette Colbert and stuff when I was in college.
I had one that had Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Skin Deep, and I forget what the middle movie was, so it must not have been very good, unlike Bill and Ted's and Skin Deep.
Right.
After Hours is kind of a cool movie. But
it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
I watched Bill and Ted's something like 25 times in the theater.
I love Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
We could do an episode about that. And actually, the sequel, the death, Games with Death scene in the sequel is fantastic.
It was at the $2 Claremont Theater, which was right between my home and college. And while driving home, like every day for 3 weeks, I would like, oh, it's going to start in 5 minutes. I got $2. Pull over, pay, walk in.
Bill and Ted time.
Yep.
There was a moment in the mid-80s where people thought that Griffin Dunne was a movie star.
Yeah,
that was weird.
I don't know how that happened.
Oh, the 80s.
What was he in? He's in that thing with Michelle Pfeiffer, right? Was he Married to the Mob? I know he was in American Werewolf in London. That's the only thing I can think of off the top of my head. Yeah.
Johnny Dangerously.
See, well, he's still working. That's a good sign.
He is still working.
Yeah, oh, he's on House of Lies and Red Band Society.
Red Band Society, not good.
It's a paycheck.
It was a paycheck. Good job, Griffin Dunne. Good job.
He is the best part of American Werewolf in London, though, I have to say. He's increasingly rotting and making acerbic comments.
Oh, he's in Johnny Dangerously.
Yeah, I said that.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
You blotted out of your memory already?
I saw that in the movie theater,
I made the
too.
Mistake of watching Johnny Dangerously a few years ago.
Isn't that a great movie?
I saw part of it. That was enough for me.
I love it.
Bargain Bastages.
That part's still good.
Yeah. And all of the, you shouldn't hang me on a hook, Johnny. My mother hung me on a hook once.
Once. Piscopo's finest moment.
There's a lot of really funny stuff in Johnny Dangerously.
I don't know about that.
That's strong. Don't believe anything Monty says about what's good in movies.
That's right.
Now listen here, sir.
Oh, no.
Well, I gotta be going now.
Woo-hoo-ee.
I'm out.
Good night.
Way to clear a chat room.
Yeah, wow.
Have we stopped?
Welcome back, everybody, to the Incomparable Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Snell, and tonight we're going to be talking about things Monty has seen.
Okay, campers, rise and shine. And don't forget your booties, because it's cold out there. It's cold out there every day. What is this, Miami Beach? You should play some of the little ba-dinks right about now.